Welcome to In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio, with your hosts, Dr. John A. Oliver and Willie Anderson. Welcome to another edition of In the Clear, Community Learning Exchange Advocacy Radio. I'm Willie Anderson, and today I have a very special guest, Raquel Williams-Jones of Can I Live? Raquel, we talked a couple of years ago, and I just want to welcome you back to In the Clear. Hi, Raquel.
Hi, Willie. How are you?
I am well. Raquel, tell the audience who you are and about Can I Live?
So, my name, of course, Willie just said, Raquel Williams-Jones. I'm the CEO of Can I Live Incorporated. Mm-hmm. We are a national resident association. In fact, a public housing residents association. So our leaders, those who are chiming in to influence the policies that affect their everyday communities, you know, they mobilized, they came together, and they were, you know, pretty much tired of everyone else making these decisions about the communities they call home. Mm-hmm. And so together, we kind of just built an infrastructure around what we felt was important to our homes. And we expressed that through a series of events, forums, services to the general public, whether it's residents, empowerment, you know, self-sufficiency, training and development, it's service process improvements for agencies. So we're the only one of its kind. So there really has never existed before an agency quite like ours. So we're unique in that. We have our signature initiative called the 1 Million Moms Off Welfare. So we're developing our campaign called the Welfare Movement. So we're saying to Congress and to America that we don't want your welfare. We never really did. And we're just really here to change the narrative, to bring a different perspective to this conversation. I think most times you hear people either on the offense or defense about poor people. And sometimes maybe they're speaking to the wrong poor people. Like, we have a whole group of really articulate individuals that know this thing from a grassroots level, from a policy-making level, from a program development level. And, you know, we're saying, listen, we never really wanted these handouts. We always desired handouts. However, living in a very unjust society, it's like, how can you deal with poverty if you're not going to deal but the racial institutional discrimination that in history, you know, it has just left minorities at a major disadvantage. And that's what we're dealing with. Like, poverty it just didn't pop up yesterday. It was kind of like systematically and strategically developed over years. And so we're here to say we don't want your welfare. We want wealth fair, making wealth more fair and equitable across the economic pipeline.
So when we first met, the initiative that you mentioned, 1 Million Moms Off Welfare, you all were marching on Washington. And now we're looking at 50 years ago when President Lyndon B. Johnson had the War on Poverty Initiative. And here we are today still talking about some of the same issues of equity, low-income housing, affordable housing, and even the narrative, as you stated, about what is it to say that someone is poor, just to say that someone is in poverty. Is it more than just a state of mind?
Well, there's that famous quote by Charles Darwin that says, if the misery of our poor be caused not by the nature or the laws of nature, but by our institutions, then great is our sin. Mm-hmm. So you have two different types of poverty. You have the one poverty that is a mindset that has been imputed through very oppressive practices, through racially charged oppressive policies that has snuffed the hope, the belief, the confidence, the faith, the desire to move, it has just snuffed that away. And that's the spirit of the individual that's just, he's bankrupt. He's bankrupt of ideas. He's not going to try. He's given up. He's hopeless. He has no faith. He has no confidence. He has no self-awareness of who he is and what he has to offer, so he cannot persevere through. So he takes whatever is handed to him, whether it's a It could be a subsidy in the amount of anything. It could be social service. It could be the homeless thing. But this man, his mindset, and when I say this man, I'm not just talking about males, but about the human. This human just refuses to seek and continue to strive in the face of opposition. So we call that poverty mindset, that thinks that and is okay with living off of this, off of the little that there is, like this low bar, this low place. You know, mm-hmm. However, we have kind of redefined poverty in terms of anybody that operates out of a mindset of scarcity versus mm-hmm. abundance. We also kind of equate support. And a lot of times, believe it or not, if you will go out of your way to build barriers, if you go out of your way to build potholes and you're sitting in a boardroom and you're strategically trying to figure out how you're going to ensnare individuals and trap them and block them from achieving, it's wicked. And that is a mindset of poverty as well, because you're operating from the understanding that there's not enough resources to go around and that you have to hoard these resources over here and for you indoors. So that's a mixture of greed. You could be poor and greedy. Your spirit is bankrupt. Your heart is bankrupt. You have, like, no love, no life. So we're coming to add a different narrative for real, not what has been told to us. I think a lot of times we just kind of been told what to think. But it was that fear that I can't compete. And I'll talk to white America in the past. The fear that, because if I believe, honestly, if there's an individual who honestly can believe that I am great and I am so great that I want you to be just as great as me, that's a person that operates from an abundant mindset, a wealth mindset. It's enough for everyone. So when you're dealing with a mindset that says it's not enough for everyone, and what must I do to make sure that you can't get what I have? So I'm going to hold on to what I have, and I'm going to, you know, derail or distract or, you know, kind of disrupt your opportunity to get. There's something fundamentally wrong with those people who think like that. But it's through those policies, it's through those practices, procedures that impute a harder life on people that in turn create that other type of mindset. Everybody doesn't have the same grit and tenacity, okay, fortitude to pile through. I don't want to use a curse word like the BS, mm-hmm. but everybody's not built the same. And so, you know, our goal is to just kind of shift the way people think about poverty and hold people accountable to what this really is.
So with that being said, what would you say to someone who says, well, I did it, you can do it. You know, I pulled myself up by my bootstraps. I'm a self-made man. I'm a self-made woman.
Yeah, that, you know, I used to say that. I used to say, well, if I could do it, you could do it. Mm-hmm. And I realized that everyone does not, yeah, you can do it if you have the same tools that I did. You can do it if you have the same faith that I did. You can do it if you have the same motivations as I did, period. So I can't just say, oh, if I could do it, you can do it. Yeah, maybe if we had the same tools, you know, hey, maybe if we had both the same ability to hear from God, you know, we could do it. Because if I told you that, you know, my success was hearing the Lord and hearing certain critical moments where he spoke and said, go left, go right, go up, go here, go there, say this, do that. Everybody don't have that ability. So I can't, this is not just, you know, Raquel, as smart as I would like to think I am, I'm not that brilliant. You know, there was many times my back was against the wall. I had no idea what to do next. And it was just hearing his voice to guide me through. So this is very much a part of God's will for the earth and my call and my purpose in my life.
So you would say,
no, you can't do it. Just because I did it don't mean you can do it.
So a calling, can I live as a ministry?
It is a faith-based organization. And it is, we do set to heal and to make whole and to make what's crooked straight. So if you want to call it a ministry, I just know that when people hear ministry, they automatically think church. Mm-hmm. They think, you know, poverty, the vow of poverty, everybody. No, that's not, you know, and then they think, well, you know, welfare type system. No, that's not what this is.
Tell me some of the exciting things that are going on with Can I Live right now?
Yeah, so we're really excited about our new HUD. We got some funding through the Resident Opportunity and Self-Sufficiency
HUD
program, which is it's awarded to the Housing and Urban Development, the Department of HUD.
All right.
And we recently got awarded almost $1 million to work with two sites, one in D.C. the District of Columbia, and the other is in Topeka, Kansas. So we will be operating the 1 Million Moms Health Welfare Strategy within the Raw Service Coordinators Program component. And so we're, like, too excited. Like, I'm just, like, in a dream world right now. It's like, imagine you wanting to do something forever and then just with finding partners to, you know, to implement and then based on budget constraints, they can only implement one part here, one part there, and you never can really get the traction. And so now we have and are running our own show that's totally based on our own ability to succeed. And we're just really excited about just putting this poverty thing, like just smacking it down to the floor and saying, now what? What else are we going to do, and can we move past it? I'm looking, like, beyond poverty. That's where we are right now. We're beyond it. And so we're looking to just move past this, because a lot of it is choice, and it's choice on both parts. It's choice because of those who continue to impute such hardship on programs that support the poor. That's their choice, but it's our choice to, you know, continue to stay stuck in this situation. Mm-hmm. And so we're here to say, don't, you can't be victim. We're not your victims anymore. We don't need your little help, you know, anymore. We think we got this. We're gonna help ourselves, and we're more than capable of solving our own solution. So I always tell people, if we can send a man to the moon, and you know, and build rocket ships to go into NASA. I mean, NASA can build rocket ships to go into space. Tell me we can't put opportunities in the hands of, you know, low-income families. This is like, enough is enough, right? And so we're just excited to even be able to bring that, because you got to be able to pay people to carry this work through.
Sure.
We all can't, you know, everybody can't be just in the homeless shelter talking about, you know, let's get off welfare and let's get on to, you know, something else. You need money in this capitalist society to survive. And so this strategy, this program, this grant award allows us to pay for service coordinators to go and implement a self-sufficiency strategy that we know works, because we have proof that it works.
And what is your response to HUD Secretary Carson's proposed changes with work requirements for those who are receiving housing subsidies?
That's a good question, Lily. And number one, first of all, I mean, hell, everybody want to work, because if a man don't work, he don't eat, number one. Mm-hmm. Let's make that very, very clear. Mm-hmm. Who said we didn't want to work, number one? Just because we're not working don't mean we don't want to work. We just refuse to go and work for somebody, for some job, but we're just not going to let you just stress us for $7 an hour, and then we're going to lose our benefits. Like, I'm not going to work for this job to be treated like trash for $7 an hour, hell, $10 an hour, and then come home and all my food stamps gone, my Medicaid, now I don't have no health care because, you know, my housing just went up. The little money that I'm making right now through working will be now spent on all of the sustainable factors in my life. Mm-hmm. So it's like, okay, newsflash, America, it's not that we don't work because we don't want to work. It's just more advantageous for us to stay home. We get more benefits by staying home than we do working. Hmm. And so, okay, a lot of our, you know, and I will say I'm a proponent, an advocate for work requirements. You don't really have to require people to do what they want to do and are motivated and supported to do. And it's just like private market. For example, you live in a private market household. Every time your rent go up, are you going to pay more increase in your rent? Or every time your income increases, you're going to pay more? So it's understanding that the way the policies are created is fundamentally created to do exactly that. So they have been very successful in creating these poverty programs to keep us where we are. I just think that there's some people coming into this conversation with not a clear perspective as to really how deep and how far does these welfare laws go and the intricate details that, you know, play out. So in terms of him making requirements, I think what he's doing, he's trying to, you know, make people not be comfortable. And I'm all right with that, because I'll tell you, if you thought that you had to pay $1,000 a month to pay your bills, your behind will be out of your bed in the grind doing whatever you have to do to prevent yourself from being homeless. Mm-hmm. And then I say, well, hell, how you stressed anyway? Parents and families are stressed with zero money. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, now they're going to be even more stressed. But it's a different kind of stress where you could work and see your way through and you have the support and the help. And we even have a tool. Mm-hmm. And we have a secret. And it's not really a secret, but I'll tell you, Willie, I think I shared it on your last show, that right now, everybody and their grandmother need to be in somebody college, community college and school, maxing out financial aid, tap, tail, student loans, because that money does not count towards your food stamps. They can't count that money for food stamps. They can't count that money for public housing, Section 8. They can't count it for Medicaid. Mm-hmm. And so with that, knowing that, I can still it gives me a little cushion to quench the economic thirst that I have in my life, in my household. Mm-hmm. But then it also gives me an opportunity to, fine, I'll work, what, 20 hours? What I got to do? Okay. I'm and then let them take the rent or the benefit eligibility off of that amount. So we're even teaching families how to, I don't want to say manipulate the system, but you better learn how to deal with it, but a system that is not supportive of you prospering.
So strategies.
And so I do support work requirements for sure. I don't support the approach in which they're taking. But something is better than nothing.
Okay. So again, strategies and tools from Can I Live? Now, I know that you work with mothers, and often that is who is at the forefront when you're talking about these homes. But there are fathers as well who are single parents or of a low income status. What types of work do you do with mothers and the fathers?
So yes, although we are the 1 million moms of welfare, we always tell people that we are definitely, for men, because you can't move a million moms off welfare without dealing with the father. So we have a policy initiative that we're driving home. That policy initiative says, educate non-incarcerate fathers to pay child support, because that only exacerbates the issue of them not being able to afford child support. In our research, we found that they can determine how long a mom would stay on welfare by the amount of child support she receives. So our goal is to increase child support for moms, but in order to do that, you have to develop dads. You have to teach them just as much. They need just as much, if not more, development, how to be strong parent partners, how to be better income earners, how to just live thriving lives. I think we leave the fathers out too much, and they're just sitting on the side in these underground markets, filling up the jail system. Why? Because no one has created a system for them to actually thrive in. These are businessmen. They were able to take drugs and make hundreds of thousands of dollars. So if you give them anything else to, turn around and flip, they can. It's just that there's always these, you can't work because you have a record. Like, come on now. Like, really? That was the whole plan, right? So we have a strategy that enlists men. So we have projects that we'll be working on in the upcoming year or so. Mm-hmm. But, buying homes, flipping homes where men can, they'll be owning their own business. We'll be using contractors. Like, we really want to build small businesses and help people become, their own bosses. So our motto is always, to contract with a small business versus having a whole bunch of employees. And so we actually are excited about a play that we're looking to produce next year for Father's Day. It's a tour. It's the Get Your Hands Out My Pocket tour. And all proceeds from the play will go towards canceling child support debt for men who are in their father's lives, are in their children's life, but do have this heavy overarching burden of child support. Mm-hmm. So, we're working with our fatherhood partner. He's out of North Carolina, Men of Vision Exposed. It's called MOVE. I think it's MOVEINC.org or MOVE.org. Mm-hmm. Anthony James, Chaplain Anthony James, is our fatherhood partner. So, we have this thing pretty sewn up in terms of really hitting it where it's supposed to be hit, in terms of turning poverty on its back.
So what about the children? Are there any programs that you have available that children participate or have the opportunity to participate in?
Yeah, so that's a good question. We have not children like small children, mm-hmm. but there's so many resources out there for children, mm-hmm. from literacy to, pre-K and early education. But we do have a youth component, and we have a series called Win From Within, and it is a youth and young adult pregnancy prevention and a parenting intervention. So that really focuses on making sure that young ladies understand vision, purpose, wisdom. They understand value. They understand, you know, just what purpose looks like activated, and so that they don't have idle time to sit by. And, you know, the same with men. We teach men better communication, emotional intelligence, delaying instant gratification. So, you know, we just kind of came up with a bunch of tools that we felt like was missing in our community. And we help young people avoid having children before they're responsibly ready, in addition to giving them life skills that help them make better decisions. And then also help them gain a better understanding and perspective of the world that they live in, so that they don't grow up kind of having to figure it all out, but they grow up with, you know, just good, solid, concrete, common sense, and just good, balanced information to be able to make the best decision in their life. Mm-hmm. And so we find, even with young parents, if I can avoid a young mom from having a child before she's responsibly ready, I can prevent her from going into the welfare system. And then if I can avoid that young man from fathering that child, more than likely I can avoid him going into the criminal justice system, because if he can't pay for that child and she walks into that system is going to make her, if she wants to receive services in most cases, it's going to make her put that male in the child support system. And if he cannot pay, then he will be jeopardized and at risk of going to jail. So those are just the areas that we would like to focus on in terms of youth, males, and females.
And say the name of the youth program again, please.
Wins from Within.
All right.
So it's just a program that Can I Live offers. Boys and Girls Clubs, housing authorities, youth bill, Job Corps, social service agencies, any youth program. You know, we come in, we do train the trainers, we train your staff, certify your staff into that training module, and then that trainer will go out and it comes with books and, you know, tools and food kits and stuff like that that they can carry out.
I'm speaking with Raquel Williams-Jones of Can I Live. And Raquel, there are so many things that we could discuss, and time, as always, can run out. But what are some very key points that you would like to leave with the audience about Can I Live and your efforts to end poverty?
My efforts to end poverty. Well, one of the things I want people to know is everybody's on welfare. Everybody's on welfare. And there are programs that we believe, so overall we take a position that although we all are created with equal and possess, you know, rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and I use that in quotes, and justice under the law, there are entitlements that are provided to millions of people living at or below poverty that are structured to keep them poor, while entitlements are offered to wealthier Americans to keep them and aid in their wealth creation and enhance prosperity. And we want to just make sure that everybody knows that everybody's on welfare. And so we want to change this paradigm of welfare. We are challenging the welfare system as it is. And we are saying, when you hear, can I live, that's what you're asking. Mm-hmm. Can I live? Can I live in a society, be in my God, my inward energy, and express ourselves to the greatest extent feasible, without distractions, destruction, you know, entrapment, without the fear that you will jeopardize me as your brother walking on this path called Earth? It's like, can we love our brother as we love ourselves? And that's our message.
Raquel Williams-Jones. And Raquel, I like to end the show asking you, what is a song that you think is fitting, one of your favorite songs that may be fitting to the message that you want to send, or that you just like?
Oh my God, I have so many favorite songs, but I would probably say Jay-Z's Can I Live. I mean, it's just one of those, that's all he asking, can I live? I mean, any other song, then you have, you know, for those that don't know all the lyrics to Jay-Z's Can I Live song, you have who thinks that Wake Up Everybody is a brand new day?
Oh, my goodness. The Wake Up Call type song. I say that because that's one of the things. Now, you put me on the spot. oh, yeah, it's Harold Melvin and the Blue Notes. Yeah, that's the one. We have that, too, and we could possibly play them both. But we definitely would choose your first one, Can I Live? Thank you, Raquel Williams-Jones. You are in the clear.
Can I live? My mind is infested with sick thoughts that circle like a Lexus. If driven wrong, it's sure to hurt you. Do level like duplexes. and unity. My crew and me commit atrocities like we got immunity. You guessed it, manifested in tangible goods, platinum Rolexed. We don't lease, we buy the whole car, as you should. My confederation, detonation, explode on detonation. Overload the mind of the said patient. When it boils the steam, it comes to it. We all fiends gotta do it. Even righteous minds go through this. True this, the street school us to spend our money foolish. Bond with jewelers and watch for intruders. I stepped it up another level, meditated like a Buddhist. Recruited lieutenants with ludicrous dreams of getting cream. Let's do this. It gets tedious, so I keep one eye open like CBS. You see me stressed, right? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live? Can I live?
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, time to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. We just let it be. Na, 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 na. The world won't get no better. We gotta change it now, just you and me. Wake up all the doctors, make the old people well. They're the ones who suffer and who catch all the hair. Judgment Day, so won't you make them happy before they pass away?